No plan. Straight to Cumtown.
Okay, Jeff is going for it.
Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 503. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Yeehaw.
And yeehaw. Jeff.
America! Woo!
America.
And Earl, who has worked us up a sponsorship for this episode. Earl, would you like to tell everybody what this show is?
Welcome, my true Americans, one and all, to the 250th first annual Open the Beaches Red, White, and Blue All-American Independence Day Perfectly Patriotic Celebration of Hot Dogs, Beers, and Fireworks Drunk Cats presented by the British Empire and Napoleon.
Thank you.
There'd be no Independence Day without Napoleon.
And the British Empire.
British Empire. That's right. I'm glad that they came through here and sponsored this show.
Yes, they gave us some nice teas, which we'll be sampling throughout the night, or throwing them out. I mean, it's your prerogative. You do what you want to do.
This will actually be going up on 4th of July. We are in various states of inebriation.
Working on it.
Some more so than others.
I'm
only on my first beer, but the beer is 18% ABV, so
it's basically a six pack and a glass that fucking Tony's got going right here.
So he's going to be good real quick. Earl's been drinking for a little bit. I have just started, so
I will say I've been good at pacing myself. I think a bit too good, because as I've shared with you folks, I'm drinking a concoction of boredom and the fact that I need to get rid of the liquor so I could buy some new stuff. So I mixed a combination of, I think it's, 2 ounces of white rum, 2 ounces of spice rum, 2 ounces of whiskey, 2 ounces of gin, 2 ounces of vodka. And I've just been sampling that weird concoction with a bunch of different mixes to see what works.
That is some real gross shit, dude. You just took the bottom of every bottle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Isn't that very close to what a Long Island iced tea is, though?
Yeah, but there's some fucking science to it. That's a magic potion you put together. And fucking Earl's I'm going to put some fucking windshield washer fluid in this. See what the fuck happens here.
Whatever liquid is handy.
All right, let's not put a Long Island iced tea up on a pedestal, though. That is a nasty, nasty
thing. I like it.
Of course you do.
I mean, it's.
I think whatever. What do they put in it? Like something sour, some citrusy.
It's pretty much the same thing I'm drinking, except it's vodka, white rum, tequila, gin, triple sec, simple syrup, fresh lime, and Coke for color and flavor.
Yeah, it's that stuff that you pour on top at the end, that citrus and stuff, that cuts through a lot of the fucking stink that's going on with the mix of booze there. I don't know.
Yeah. And I will say, so far, that has been true. I've tried it with Coke, which is the generic mixer. That was fine. I tried it with my favorite so far. I tried it with, I have some sour mix, and I had some sour mix, and I topped that off also water. That was really delicious. I tried it with some, fruit juice that was not, juice for some reason does not mix well with me. I don't really know any juice mixers. I think of orange juice and, orange juice separately, but apple juice doesn't mix well with a lot of stuff.
No.
Fruit punch doesn't mix with a lot of stuff.
Vodka.
But they're not versatile. You would think juice would be more versatile with alcohol, but that is not the case. And right now I am just doing I'm doing a concoction with some tonic water. So, and tonic water goes well with you're basically just watering down whatever I poured in there. So it works.
I wish you luck.
Godspeed.
I am drinking vodka and cranberry and pineapple juice.
I am drinking, I'm on my third anti-hero. It's not bad, considering I started 3 hours ago and I was watching Mad Max 2. That movie was fun. That was fun.
I was still at work when you started.
Yeah. I'm still surprised that you don't like the first one.
I thought the first one
it's a little slow.
Felt like a very low rent drive-in movie. Like, you could see that, like, George Miller had real talent at directing an action scene, and just, like, the way he could kind of speed up the film and just edit shit, like, but you could tell he didn't have, like, any budget, and I don't know, like, it kind of plods along, like, Chris, you just said it was, like, slow.
It's a little slow.
Yeah, it's a little slow, like, it doesn't have the big action set pieces that...
No, it doesn't. It's such a fascinating franchise because it is like it's not connected, but it is connected. Like it's
there's that,
he's like a Roman warrior. He just kind of goes from town to town, and like it's funny because like in the first movie, his wife and kid dies, and you kind of get flashes of that in Fury Road. But it's been like 30, 40 years, and I assume most people who saw Fury Road probably hadn't seen the original, and you don't have to. They're not super connected, but there is a tie back to that.
Yeah, in part two, they like do like the classic sequel thing where they run down what happened in the first one at the beginning, and so like they give you all that info. But you could still watch part two totally on its own because it's just him going to another town. You know, like
is that the one with the all, or is that the first one?
Is that the one with the what?
The all. The all town or like the little shanty town that he has to protect.
Yeah. Like they have like a tanker full of gas.
Yeah,
and then like in the last 20 minutes, it basically becomes Fury Road because it's just them, you know, driving the semi with the fucking. Well, you think the gas is in the tank, but it's not. And like them trying, like the whole town just trying to be like, "Fuck it, we're leaving the desert. We're getting out of here, and we're gonna go somewhere else and start a new life." And they're getting chased by these fucking bad guys. And it's like very much like all the action in Fury Road where it's like all these crazy motherfuckers like climbing their way onto this fucking semi trying to get in and kill people. Like very much felt like that. The last 20 minutes, dude, fucking I was having a ball with it. Like I rewound it and watched it again like right away like the last, you know, that last little bit. It's like, damn, dude.
Did anybody play the Mad Max game?
No.
Came out, I guess, like around the same time as Fury Road.
Yeah, I played a bit of it ages ago. I went to, it just was coincidental. I was up in Vancouver, and I think my friend had got it the weekend it came out, and I watched him and played a bit of it. It's really kind of it's an interesting game from an open world standpoint. Because most of the game is like, it's open world. There's two main types of combat. There's vehicular combat, which is usually kind of like, you know, twisted metal where you're just kind of knocking each other around. And later on, you get some type of get upgrades so you can get like a harpoon gun to pull up parts of the car and stuff like that. And then the other main part, facet of the game is just going to like towns, killing everybody, and getting that settlement. And that settlement then produces more goods for you. And just going around the map and completing as many settlements as you can.
I think I own it. I don't think I played it though.
It's interesting that like it does feel like that series influenced like post-apocalyptic stories in general, but like video games too. Like we look at like Fallout or like Rage or stuff like that. Like
I mean, Borderlands
had an influence. Yeah, and it's like I don't know. You know, maybe there was stuff before Mad Max that Mad Max was like riffing on, but
I mean, it fucking influenced a ton of things. Like.
But I'm saying like before Mad Max, like was Mad Max inspired by something? I don't know. Like to me, it seems like the beginning of that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm sure there were like post-apocalyptic type movies before then, but that was like, you know, the one that like, you know, landed on the map. People like that ended up influencing the stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember specifically like the Road Warrior being the one that kind of really started influencing stuff. Like, you know, as you said, Fallout in games. The name itself and the look of the Road Warriors in wrestling, the tag team, Hawk and Animal, like very clearly was ripped from there.
I think Road Warrior was the one that like I watched when I was a kid. I haven't seen any of these movies other than Fury Road since, you know, like the 80s. Like I don't know, for whatever reason I didn't revisit them, but I do like now watching them. I'm like, I don't think I've seen Mad Max ever. Like I think I thought I saw it. And then when I watched it last night or whatever, I was like, whoa, I don't remember any of this shit. Today, like watching part two, I'm like, oh, I there were things in it I kind of remembered, you know.
It's definitely the more memorable of the first three, I think.
I know Thunderdome
has some stuff in it.
Yeah, I know I saw that when I was a kid, but I remember not liking it when I was a kid.
I've never seen it, but I feel like it's the one that is the most, because you know, like two men enter, one man leave. I've never seen a movie, and I still make references to entering the Thunderdome. It's like when because ages ago they were on Netflix, and I watched the first two, and I think I went to watch the third that one, and it was just like, you know, like Netflix just cycles through movies, and it had never been on there again, and I was like, oh, I'm not just gonna buy the movie. And I assume you're watching this for the same reason I am, or going to. It's like you got the box set from Amazon.
Yeah, have you busted it open yet?
I'm not. I've been busy, and it's 4th of July weekend, so I've been, like yesterday I watched, what did I watch yesterday? Crap, I don't even remember now. I watched Uncle Sam today.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is fair.
I hope you at least listened to our episode, because that might make it worth it, but...
I think it was you, and I was like, oh, this seems interesting, and it's like, it's not.
It's, no.
And I figured, like, okay, I know this isn't a movie review podcast, but like I watched it and I'm like, so like you have the Uncle Sam gimmick already. Why did you already have to name the character Sam and then make the main character his nephew?
It's gotta be literal.
So he was a literal Uncle Sam.
Like, yes,
that's the level we're working at with that movie.
And I'm just like, but you had to set up, like, have a curious Uncle Sam. Even have a curious soldier. You did not have to name him Sam and make him the kid's uncle.
Maybe you did.
It's a totally straight-faced movie. Like, it feels like that should be a joke, but I feel like, I don't know, the way that movie presents itself, it's like everything's kind of serious. I don't know.
Yeah,
we went into it on Recurring Nightmares. I think it was, dude. If it had cool kills, it would be fun. Like, I don't know.
I did like the fireworks kill.
Yeah.
Yep. That is a good one.
That is pretty much the only part of the movie I'm going to remember. Honestly, the
cannon
acting.
No, the cannon. For me, the cannon. Like, they shoot Uncle Sam into the fucking house at the end. Like, the cannon just fucking hits him in the midsection. He goes flying into the house.
But again, hey, the big takeaway from that for me is the kid's poor acting, because he's like, can't you see I'm with my uncle? I want to be just like him now. And I'm like, oh gosh, this is dreadful.
And then they bring the psychic kid in.
Yes, which I don't... I missed the part where he's introduced earlier in the movie?
No.
Okay, because he's like, he won't hurt me because he know we're friends. And I'm like, when did you two become friends? I don't think you shared a scene yet. Like, at first I thought it was a...
Oh no! So they do. There is a scene where he meets, like, so he runs up to him. He's not supposed to be at the picnic, and he runs up to the kid in the wheelchair who's blind, and he's like, "Oh, I want to talk to you." And then they kind of like lay down what happened to the kid that he became blind, and that's when it's like, "Oh, we're friends" or whatever. And then that's when he sees or gets the premonition, feels Uncle Sam. But there's no actual explanation before that, no.
It's a really odd... I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's a completely stupid movie, really, to begin with. But let's throw in a psychic blind kid or whatever. Like, what the fuck? Okay.
I think it makes everything better to have a psychic blind kid.
You would think, but this movie is not... And then, like, his parents disappear halfway through because they send him with a random soldier. I'm like, okay, yours, do that. Your kid's blind and in a wheelchair, you're going to send him with a random dude. Have at it.
To be fair, that random soldier was the best character in the movie.
Oh, he was, but it's still kind of like your kid's in a wheelchair and blind.
Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
A crazy cast, though, dude. Robert Forster is the guy that got killed by the fucking fireworks. Like, I went off on that in the podcast too. I'm like, they got Robert Forster. I mean, I guess Robert Forster did a lot of trash in his days, you know. But like, shit, man. Dude was a great actor. Here he is, Uncle Sam.
My favorite actor in a movie, though, is William Smith. Because, I mean, like, you kind of, like, we got Will Smith, but we didn't. It's William Smith, and there's a Bo Hopkins, and I'm like, because I said it at first, I'm like, wait, Bob Hoskins in this? And it's like, no, it's Bo Hopkins.
It's his fucking his long lost brother.
Those might be the two best things about the movie.
I want to do that. I want to change my name and be in a movie. I want to be like Leonard DiCaprio.
And just be in one movie with
Jimmy. And one movie.
And the other movie I watched, because I looked it up while we were talking, Air Force One, which is a much better movie and much more patriotic. And I think it's one of my favorite Harrison Ford films. I mean, The Fugitive will always be number one.
Not regarding Henry?
I don't think I've ever seen Regarding Henry.
I mean, that's a movie that exists, and I remember liking it.
But yes. So I did not get a lot of responses to this, which is disappointing. But, you know, part of it was I wanted to talk about patriotic video games.
Yeah.
And part of what I came up with was there's a lot of war video games.
Yeah, there are. There are so many.
And much like history, we're taught, it is very Americanized.
What's the word? Jingoistic. Rah rah, America. Yeah.
It's
Call of Duty series. There you go. That's fucking America. That means, right there.
And then you have stuff that's kind of skirts the line. You have stuff like Spec Ops the Line, which is still a military shooter, but it also kind of goes to the trauma of doing that.
I haven't played. Like, has anyone played?
I have. I have issues with that game, but
aren't your issues in the fact that the actual play of the game is not good?
Yeah, they. I mean, it doesn't play great, but also the fact that, like, it's basically a game that the message is, like, this is bad, you shouldn't do this stuff. But there's no option to not
do that stuff.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. Like, it's telling a story. Like,
no, but it's,
how
it's
was
like,
the story, though? Is the story good?
It's like, fine. It's basically Heart of Darkness.
Okay.
But it's very much like in your face, like you shouldn't be doing this. Like this is bad that you the player, like it tries to the player feel bad.
I love getting my like nose rubbed into the dirt for playing the product that I bought for
right. Me. And then on top of that, so like it would be one thing if like, all right, we're gonna put you through this and you know, and we're gonna, you know, preach to you about how, you know, following orders and war is bad, and the stuff you do in war is bad. But then there's a multiplayer aspect to it.
It's just like, kill some dudes.
Right, and it's like, so your single player, you know, your purpose behind it is tossed to the wind because, hey, just go kill some friends. Like,
it's kind of like that movie Funny Games that, like, tries to make you feel bad about, like, liking horror movies and shit, and it's just like a disgusting, depraved film. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a good film. I enjoy it.
I know, but it's like the whole, like, you should feel bad for enjoying this. It's
yeah,
like,
but like you're putting on the entertainment.
You made this. You should feel bad for making it then. How about that? Right? Like,
Jeff just like kicks him in the balls. Like, how does that feel?
But I do think the big difference to that, like I was saying, is like, I mean, you could turn off the movie, I guess, and you could turn off the game, but the game is forcing you. It's not like, oh, you know, like, if you hadn't done this, if you had found a way to stick around them without engaging them, you could have. But it's like, no, we don't give you those options.
Yeah, right. Like, games have the ability to allow you to shape your narrative if you
want. Well, and that's another thing with that game is that there are these, like, moments where you can, like, choose to do one or two things.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so like you had some sort of like narrative shaping in it, and like, but like neither choice is necessarily good or bad. Like they're all the choices are bad, but the really big scene is that it's what they call the white phosphorus scene. And so it's like, all right, like you're pinned up against this thing and you're shooting these enemies coming at you, and you can pretty much hold them off. Like, you can keep putting them down, but to advance the game, you have to use this white phosphorus. You have to, like, basically drop this thing that, like, just burns people to death.
Cool.
And like, that's the only way to move forward, though. It's like, I can't just shoot them because they'll just keep coming. It's like, you have to do this. There is no other option. And then it's like, then it like makes you walk through like the carnage and you find out that like you killed civilians. And it's like, fuck you. Like,
yeah,
you are such a piece of shit for doing the only path possible.
Right.
You know, I think like, and a lot of games that give you choices, like real binary, like, I think like a game that did it really good recently, I think we all really liked last year, was The Outer Worlds. Whereas like, it felt like you were like there wasn't just two directions the narrative could go. It could go kind of any way, and it wasn't like necessarily coded as good or bad. Like, you could see the logic in any way that you went, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, you could intentionally try to play it evil, but also like, they made it make, like, it wasn't just like, aha, like twirling your mustache, I'm evil.
Yeah,
no, these people need this, or like.
What I liked about that was there were options where it was like, right, like, this seems logical, right? Like, I'm not gonna kill anybody. I'm gonna put these other people in charge. Like, and then like, you find out like, hey, maybe that wasn't a great decision anyway later on. Yeah. But at least it like gave you a way to formulate that where it wasn't like, well, the only option here is to kill this dude.
Yeah. Well, like most games that will give you a choice, it's more handled like, I don't know, like the original BioShock or something, where it's like, you could save the little sisters or you could not, you know what I mean? Like, you could do the evil choice or the good choice, and that's kind of it. I don't know. I'm sure there's other examples besides The Outer Worlds that do it well, but like, I really dug that game because of that shit.
No, and I agree. I think, especially with choices in video games, like, this is always one of my big beefs with some of them. I mean, it's my big beef with Telltale games. It's like, Telltale's always like, oh, your choice will matter, your choice will matter. And then the end of the game, it's like,
yeah. Yeah, that's the whole, like,
we haven't started Tell, so.
Clementine will remember that. Okay. Great. Like, I guarantee you some of that shit is just, like, literally meaningless. Like, it's just like, if we say that she'll remember it, people will think that like they're having some influence. Because come on, dude, like none of that stuff ever comes up again. Like, a couple things do, right? Like, you do have influence over those games, but like, there's so many things that just get like tossed aside. Like, yeah, okay. Like, that didn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so where was the payoff here? It's like, oh, I don't know. We said they would remember. We didn't say it would matter. The most egregious example to me still remains, I think it's The Force Awakens. Because The Force Awakens, like, you could play as a good guy, you could play as a bad guy. Everything you do will matter. And then the game's literally like, okay, find a boss, good or bad. And I'm like, you gotta be shitting me. So it did not matter what I did until this very point where you give me, and then you could save it and pick the other option to get both endings.
Yep.
And I'm just like, wow.
Some bad example of choice.
I remember being, I don't think I ever played the sequel because of that. I'm just like, nope.
Oh, that was probably a good decision anyway.
But I'm just like, good.
Now, the original choice game was the Knights of the Old Republic game, though, right?
Yeah.
BioWare game. And that actually had like a significant, like, your choices would actually guide you to a completely different ending. And you were stuck by the time you got to that point. Like, you were evil or you were good, and it was over.
Never played it.
Oh,
I have it on my Xbox.
I mean, it was utterly unattractive and, you know, unplayable now. It's one of those, like, it looks too good to be a retro game, but not good enough to be a modern game. So one of those games that you kind of, like, it makes your eyes bleed when you look at it now.
Yeah, like, I tried to go back and play it earlier this year, and it's not an attractive-looking game.
I remember at the time, though, like, wanting to play it so bad, but I didn't have an Xbox. But I was like, that's such a neat idea. Like, you know, like, RPGs were still kind of new to me as a genre when that came out, you know, like, I was like, oh, that's cool, you know, like, but yeah, I have it now on my Xbox One. Like, anytime I've ever looked at screenshots or anything about it, I'm like, oh no, that doesn't
look, no, you can't play it now.
Hold up.
Those games would use a remake. Like, if they wanted to, like, rebirth BioWare, which
that'd be a good one to happen, do, right?
Like, that'd be a great place to start.
Do full remake of
and. EA owns BioWare.
Yeah.
It's like there's literally no reason you can't just be like, hey, let's do a new, like, let's remake the Old Republic and go from there. Do it, EA.
Do it.
Right. Crap, there's another example I was thinking of that I now lost track of. Oh, True Crime, Streets of LA. Where that does the opposite of what Star Wars did, where it's like, oh, we're just gonna end the game abruptly because you're evil. If you want to continue, we have a good ending, and if you really want to be great, there's like a perfect ending. I'm like, that's not a choice game then, because it's like literally, it's like 2 or 3 hours differences between like the bad ending and the good ending and the perfect ending. I've never gotten, but yeah, I just remember like fighting the final boss. I'm like, oh, that's it? It's like, no, there's more if you're actually good. I'm like, nope, that's not gonna happen. And that is, I'm sure, a very obscure and deep dive, but that was, I actually enjoyed that game.
Dude, I was a huge fan of that series. Like, I even at the time, I could tell, like, all right, this is not GTA level quality. Like, it would not, those games would probably not hold up now, but like at the time when the first one came out, especially like the idea that it was an actual map of LA, like, blew my fucking mind. I was like, this is so crazy. And I liked the second one too, although that one was like super buggy. Like I think it was called just like True Crime Streets of New York or something. It was in New York. In it. Yes. So I was going to say that if you collected 30 bones throughout the game in that second one, you unlock Snoop Dogg as a playable character. I was like all about that. Like, that's my favorite thing of like an open world game is that thing too. Like, find the 30 backpacks or whatever type shit. Like, I love that. And so like, I was just like, I need to get Snoop Dogg. But like, that game was so buggy, at least on the GameCube. Like, it was like broken.
But
like,
yeah,
you start clipping into the wall. And,
I think there was a time where we kind of accepted, like, okay, this is buggy but charming. And now you kind of like, oh, this is broken. You can fix it now, right? I want that fixed as soon as possible. Get on it.
And didn't Sleeping Dogs like spawn from True Crime? Yes,
it was supposed to be like the next one, and they just kind of rebranded it and stuff. And I never played that game, but
that's kind of fun. Yeah,
I always stare at it. It's in my games list. I want to play it, but I never do.
I don't know if that one was an actual map, though. Was it like, because like that's what really like made me.
But I mean, I mean,
I've never been out of Hong Kong, so
yeah, I was about to say it's in Japan. I don't think. Yeah, it's one of those places. I'm like, yeah, I've never been. Like, oh yeah, I've been to.
Seems
like,
right. Yeah,
like New York, I've been to. I GTA 4, Spider-Man. Like, yeah, oh, I know that area. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Sleeping Dog, it's like I got no frame of reference here, so.
Right, it looks cool, but
yeah, it looks how I imagine it would be, I guess.
Right.
That does remind me, speaking of open world games and patriotic titles, Saints Row the Fourth, where you get to play as the President of the United States.
That is true. I totally forgot that's who, man, you are playing as.
I should play that tomorrow.
I haven't played it since it came out, but I like that game is so fucking absurd.
Yeah, I prefer the third, because I think the third built up to the absurdity, where four is just like, yeah, you got superpowers, go for it.
Yeah, it starts at absurd. I think that's what I like about it, though. It's just like, it starts at crazy, and then like by the end, you're flying. You can literally fly.
But, weird. Like, I was more into that series when it was just trying to do GTA. I don't know why. And then, like, I think I played through the third one. But then when I finally bought the fourth one, like, a year or two ago. And I played through the first hour or so. I'm like, what the fuck? This is like a cartoon. Like, it is. It's completely
totally
detached from what any of, like, the series started as. Like, it's just, like, it starts off like this insane, like, White House fucking like
big attack by aliens.
Anyway, sorry.
Is the third one the one that starts with you on the rocket, or is that four?
I think that's four, because you're the president. Okay. You nuke the moon or something like that. Yes. You write it down to a press conference. Because the fourth one's the alien invasion one.
Yep.
Yeah, and then there's parts of 4 where it's just like, oh, we're still Saints Row, but none of this makes any sense. Because, like, you still have a gang and you can still drive cars. But it's like, you gave me dying in, like, the first hour. What do I need a car for?
There's no need to ride a car at all. Because at some point, you can actually pipe music in while you're flying. So, like,
yeah,
you don't even need the car.
And don't get me wrong, I love the absurdity, but I hate that 3 built up to it, where 3's like, okay, you're going to start off as like a normal saint, and by the end of it, you have superpowers, you have like the, is it the one, I think that's the third one introduces like the disco gun.
That sounds right.
Or is it the wub-wub, I think it's called? And then, like, yeah, the final chapter is you rescuing somebody to holding out for a hero. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm all for this. Saints Row the Third is one of my favorite games. It is fantastic. But yes, 4th one, patriotic. You play as the president. Like I said, there's an alien invasion. You're actually the hero from the 3rd one, who got elected president after saving the world or something like that. And I believe the remake, the remake is called Re-Elected. There's a DLC called Get Out of Hell.
Gat out of hell, because Johnny Gat is one of the characters.
Yeah, and again, I love the characters. I get Jeff's point about like when it was more GTA, but I love that over time the franchise diverged with GTA, because GTA went more serious, more story based, and Saints Row's like, who cares? Let's go for whatever. Like a side mission type in that game is literally insurance fraud. Where you run around traffic, getting ping pong between cars.
That was in the like the original, I think.
Yeah. I think it debuted in 2.
I totally forgot about that shit.
I think it debuted in 2.
Dude, I think that was in the first one.
I don't remember.
The first one, like, being impressed by 2 things. That and the fact that you could, like, just stand around and smoke weed and shit. Like, there was, like, a wheel of stupid things you could do, like, pull up.
It's possible. I don't remember the first one very well.
I really loved the first one because it was like before there was any GTA. It was before GTA 4 on the Xbox 360. So it was like them trying to do GTA kind of, but like a controlled good, like not like a Rockstar game.
Oh yeah, no.
It was like, oh, that was fun. Like you know, GTA is kind of a chore sometimes. Like this shit was just like fun to play. And I was super into it. And then, like, I don't know. I guess it had to go the way that it went because, like, it had to make its own identity at some point. I don't know. Like, and it just naturally happened that way. Like Earl said, like, they just went in different directions like that.
Like, each game introduces more and more of it. I think 2 was the one that kind of started introducing like, costumes and stuff. And then 3's like, yeah, we'll do that show. And then by the end, it's like, yeah, superpowers, whatever, you got it, it's here. And it works. Like, it's weird because, and again, why I prefer 3 to 4 is like you can see the progression in that game where 4 starts with an alien invasion. It starts with you having superpowers. There's really not much else to go above that.
Yeah.
And I also believe, 4, and I could be wrong, 4 is a palette swap where you're pretty much using the same city from 3, but it's taken over by aliens, so it has like this weird filter on it and stuff.
Well, and yeah, so it's a simulation.
Yeah,
it's great though. There is at some point you get a ship like you have in Mass Effect, and you can like hook up with your gang member. like has romance options for each of them.
Wait, that's in 4.
Yeah,
I really need to play these games.
And Keith David's in it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no game coming
out right now. I should definitely be taking my time to play these.
It's like really, it's just dumb fun.
Yeah, I love the franchise for that. It just embraces the absurdity of it, and it's why, especially what, like I said, as GTA got more serious, it filled the niche. Because you know, like for me, GTA kind of peaked with San Andreas and Vice City, where it's like we're going to be these crime dramas, but we're also going to have fun with it. Where 4 and 5, like we're going to be crime dramas, point blank.
Yeah, I think 5 had a little bit more like absurdity in certain aspects. Like there were definitely missions that harken back to like dumb stuff. Like there's the one where Michael gets high. and you're like floating over LA. And like the, you know, Trevor's a despicable human being, but like some of his missions are absurd. But yeah, it's basically like a, they're trying to do crime movies at that point. So, what other
patriotic games? Every time I get to the 4th of July, I think patriotic games, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get into like historical strategy games about like American history, and it's going to be awesome. And I get stuck playing like Total War, and I can't stop myself.
Yeah. So, well, you see, I guess it depends on what you mean by patriotic, because like, part of it is, and one of the responses I got was Metal Gear Rising.
God. How is that patriotic in any way?
I mean, at the end of it, you are beating like a, you're basically beating like a the GOP as it is now.
Yeah, I think the big bad guys. He says he wants to make America great again.
Yeah,
And I think this was before Trump. So,
Yeah.
It was one of those things. Like somebody sent me that GIF. I'm like, oh, okay. Like I knew it's always funny when people argue online. And like Metal Gear is not political. I'm like, I guess you have not really been paying attention to Metal Gear.
Yeah, they not beating yes, Metal Gear 2, where like talks about like nuclear proliferation and how that was bad.
Almost the entire franchise is about like the arms race.
Yeah, it's like the entire thing is political.
Yeah, but somehow people, I'm always fascinated when people just miss these very subtle political messages, and by subtle, I mean not at all.
It's like the people that think Born in the USA is like a super patriotic song. It's not at all.
It's an anti-war song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like if you like listen to the lyrics at all, like you'd be like, oh yeah, like he's not, this is not like an anthem.
War is shitty. We send our troops off, and when they come home, we treat them like shit. That's what that song is.
America.
But yeah, let's play that on the 4th of July.
Say that on the 4th of July. I mean, it does not count, but it counts for me because Maneater? Just because Jaws to me. Jaws is an Independence Day movie, at least the first two. I think they stopped going away from that. I don't know why, because I don't. First one takes place during it, but Rocky? Is the first one during Independence Day? I know the second one's Thanksgiving.
I don't think so.
I know it's Thanksgiving. I think New Year's is one of them. But for some reason,
they have holidays in the movies. Like, yeah, like you're saying. But, like, I don't think. I mean, dude, like, Rocky. All right. Well, if this is a movie, but Rocky IV. Rocky IV is
patriotic. Yeah.
That's, like, the most patriotic fucking thing you've ever seen, dude.
Okay. To be
and
fair,
all my stupid Republican friends who thought, like, that was the most amazing shit ever are now like, yeah, Russia's not bad. What are you talking about?
I mean,
like one person I knew who was like that. Yeah.
I mean, I think Rocky as a franchise is very American in that it's kind of the American dream. Somebody from nowhere kind of sends to become the world champion. And, you know, Apollo comes out to live it in America.
The original Rocky is a very American story, like, you know,
yes,
like underdog, but like Rocky IV is like America is gonna fuck you in the ass, like that.
Oh,
is
yeah.
What Rocky IV is, you know.
Oh yeah, it's the peak of the Cold War. I mean, I think it's right at the peak of the Cold War, and it's very American propaganda. But I think it, like, again, it's one of those movies I kind of associate with the 4th of July, and there's several videos I think I mentioned in passing, Broforce is very kind of over the top patriotic. Like, you literally raise an American flag, I think, at the end of every level.
Oh my god,
I've not played that. That's like Contra, kind of, right?
Yeah,
yeah. That's like if you ask me, like what I would think of as a patriotic game, even though it's like not saying anything about America, it just feels like something from out of 1980s America, the original Contra. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, fuck yeah, man. These soldiers are going to go in and fuck shit up, you know?
I would say, yeah, Contra 2. One that I think people probably don't think of patriotic, but it's a very American ideal, is Red Dead Redemption series, because cowboys in the West.
Yes.
Sure.
No, I
very Americana. What about America's Army?
Yes, that has come up. I've never heard of this game, but
it was a first person shooter. I believe it was an online first person multiplayer shooter that was developed by the US government to help recruit for the US Army.
And to kind of tie into that, though I don't know the exact details, that's also something that's happening now, because I think the U.S. Army created a Discord this week.
They did. For their esports team, which we saw at PAX East.
Wait, they did? What?
Well, at the PAX East that Earl and I were just at, the U.S. Army had floor space. And their esports team was there.
Ew.
In uniform.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was gross.
I'm actually disgusted. It's great. I like being disgusted. It's awesome.
That was a thing that happened.
That Discord channel did not go very well. They evidently had to shut that down because people were...
Yeah, they were bombing it.
Yeah. To the point where they were banning basically anybody that joined because they were just there to cause shit.
America.
America. America. I mean, free speech, right? Like,
not necessarily patriotic, but it does take place in our nation's capital. Division 2.
Yeah.
Was another one that was up there.
Well, I mean, I could see somebody thinking that's patriotic, right? You're working for the government trying to restore order.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is one I had not thought about in a long ass time. A codename Steam. The 3DS, a tactical RPG from Nintendo, where you are led by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Is he like a robot in that?
No, that is The Conduit. The Conduit 2, I think Abraham Lincoln, there's like four presidents you end up playing as, because they come through a tunnel at the end of the game. Crap, who's in it? I know it's, damn it, it's like Abe Lincoln and some other people. And I never played the sequel. I just remember the end of the first one. They kind of pop up and it's like, I don't know where this is going. So, yes, that is, I mean, I guess it's technically a patriotic game.
Yeah, I guess. Tony, would you consider Assassin's Creed 3 a patriotic game?
So, I think it definitely has some moments where you're like, oh, look, they're working on the Declaration of Independence. But that game does not focus all that much on the American Revolution. It's not all that patriotic. Like, the actual revolution itself is a sidebar to what's going on in the game. So, I don't think so.
Be like, do missions for, like, Ben Franklin and...
Yeah.
Yeah, George Washington.
But a big part of that is the DLC for that game is the tyranny of King Washington. Like, it's not...
Weird, like, alternate history. I should play that. I haven't played the DLC.
Yeah, I haven't either. But
one we talked about last week,
Freedom Force.
Freedom Force.
None of us went back to PAX.
I did. I booted it up. I played the first level. You play as the Minuteman in that level. It's pretty funny.
Minuteman. He's bad. He's badass. Except he's not really.
No. Not at all, but...
And because we are super creative, and I used to get these two confused, there's a Freedom Force, but there's also a Freedom Fighters, which I think is a third-person shooter?
Yeah, I don't think I played that one, but I have heard of it. I heard it was good.
I don't remember if I played it or not, but...
Oh, that was like a third-person action game with four players.
It's on GameCube, Xbox, PS2, that era.
I always wanted to play that. Like, I've played, you know, I've tried it out, but, like, I always wanted to play that because, like, it was a neat idea. It was a neat idea, but that was, that's a good choice, I guess.
Also, by the makers of Hitman. That was made by IO Interactive.
I'll throw one out.
What up?
GTA 4.
That game is not patriotic at all. Even though
it's an immigrant story.
Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like GTA has the whole rags to riches thing going for it, which again is a very Americano dream.
And GTA 4 specifically is about a guy coming to America to achieve that. You know, it wasn't just some guy that lived in Miami.
Yeah, like he literally comes right off the boat.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
That's important part of the game.
I've turned on that game over time.
The series or that game?
That game in particular. I don't think it's very good.
I haven't played it. Like, I mean, I've played it, but if I was going to play GTA now, I'd probably just play 5, you know, like mess around.
Right. I think 4 has become the one that I wouldn't go back to.
Yeah. I find, I know you love Vice City. I find that hard to go
back to. They're hard to go back to.
Because they're not great games, honestly.
I mean,
no, they were intriguing. Yeah.
They're impressive. They're doing a ton of cool things. But the missions themselves could sometimes be frustrating because the gameplay is...
Yeah, because the control is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the soundtrack in Vice City is...
I mean, that shit still kind of blows me away. Remember the first time you ever played any GTA game was probably GTA 3, and it was like, holy shit, dude, there's a radio with different stations, this feels like a real city, it was all about no one even gave a shit about the story on Grand Theft Auto 3, it was always just look at all the shit I could do, I could put in codes and make fucking tanks drop out of the sky and shit, I don't know. I remember that being just such a. That was the first time and the only time really I was like, man, I wish I had a PlayStation or an Xbox because I just had my GameCube.
It's a shame to me that they've not returned to Vice City as a locale.
Yeah, I bet you they will. What's the rumor for the new one? Is there any even idea of what it's supposed to be, or is it just we're working on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always rumors, but none of them are probably accurate. I've heard London, which is a city they've done before.
But in the 2D games.
Yeah, in the 2D games. But I would really go back to, and not just go back to Miami, go back to 80s Miami. make that Vice City that Miami Vice game again.
I'm kind of with you. I think I don't know. I like that vibe. I like the 80s thing. Especially.
Yeah. Cool. You could have awesome the 80s music channels, and then just all the neon that was down in. I mean, there's still a lot of neon in South Beach and such, but and neon was everywhere. The game would look beautiful now.
You know what? I'm fine with that. London. I'll tell you that.
That does remind me, and I don't know if my friend mentioned a game that's on Xbox Game Pass. I think Streets Rogue, which is like an old school GTA co-op game.
Okay.
So,
overhead,
yeah, sprites. It's a procedurally generated city, but it's 4 players. It's just one of those things that I was oh, that seemed interesting, so I might check that out. That does not matter for this conversation. Those are kind of the big ones to me. I can't think of many others, but I think the thing that I found researching this is oddly enough, even though video games do a lot of war games and stuff like that, we don't really, I guess because you want to sell to a global market, you don't necessarily cater to America as much as, say, movies do with their hurrah, America's amazing mentality.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's I couldn't think of anything good for this, honestly. I was just Call of Duty. Call of Duty kind of fits that bill. It's it feels like war propaganda.
Well, I mean, I always aim for strategy games following American history. So there's a bunch of those. There's a lot of them. But it's all sanitized. It's it doesn't include, you're going to play a game that is strategic level of World War II. is it going to include the Holocaust? No, it's not. Is it going to include, like, Americans killing civilians? Probably not. Is it going to include Americans killing prisoners of war? Probably not. It's just going to skip all that stuff. So there's lots of games on it, though. There's so many games. Like, if you wanted to be like, okay, patriotic, let's relive Normandy, you could do that. There's lots of shooters. Oh, yeah. There's lots of strategy games. Battle of the Bulge, you want to do that? Cool. I don't know how patriotic you think the Civil War is. There's tons of Civil War games. But even the Civil War games, how much of them is going to be focused on, say, slavery?
Yeah.
Hardly anything. Like, it's going to focus on, like, the military aspects and, like the economic aspects, but it's going to skip all the parts. Like, all the things that the war was actually about are not going to be included. And, you know, how patriotic is that? Probably not very.
So, one... And not just one, but kind of like a genre of games that we haven't talked about. And it did pop into my head when I was thinking about this before. One specific game popped into my head, but now I'm thinking about it. There's more there. Sports games. Like the one that I really fell into was when the World Cup was in South Africa. I played a lot of FIFA World Cup South Africa 2014 or whatever it was. And it's patriotic for all countries because you can pick whatever country you want. The NHL games you can play as international teams and do international tournaments.
Sonic and Mario do the Olympics.
Olympic games. And
they do. They're in Tokyo, unlike anybody else this year.
Yeah.
Fucking track and field. These people partying next door are now shooting off fucking fireworks and setting
their dog patriotic.
Up. I'm literally I'm looking out my window. At least I'm getting to see a fireworks show. But it's the people right behind my fence just fucking shooting.
It's all a personal thing, Jeff. I have had this issue where people have been partying above me or below me or next to me. Embrace it. Like, they're playing music you might not listen to. They're having a good time. Just embrace it. Embrace it. It's not something to complain about. It's something to, somebody out there is having a good time. Fireworks. Enjoy it.
Yeah, I know. I hope they enjoy their COVID.
Well, that's just it. I'll also think about this. The fact that they're going to be suffering 2 weeks from now because of this. they're going to get the punishment they so richly deserve and you're not involved.
I hope you guys know I'll be fucking pissing on your graves.
It's like Herman Cain. Never in the history of America has someone so deserved something as Herman Cain getting COVID. This man was a doctor. He was a surgeon. He was the picture perfect scientist.
Well, he rejected
all of that to embrace Republican ignorance.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go to this thing. I'm not going to wear a mask. And you don't need to wear a mask either. And, oh, my God, I might die. Mm-hmm. Well, you made your bed. Go live in it. Or die in it, as the case may be.
Made me laugh.
Just to put us aside from that for a bit. when Chris mentioned a genre he thought of that he hadn't come up. What I thought you were going to say would beat him up. Because I think, what is it, Ed Dude, where you're rescuing the President of the United States?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
And then Excuse to Rage. I mean, you're a cop, essentially. You're not a cop. You're fighting cops and gang members in your neighborhood. I feel like that's also a very kind of American story.
Yeah.
We kind of mentioned Contra isn't a beat 'em up, but that's also one that I think falls into that realm of, those 2D games where it's like, your goal is like America. Yeah.
And it's just, Contra just feels so of that time where every action movie in the 80s was about how fucking awesome America was, you know?
Yeah.
That's not explicitly, I don't remember Contra really making it about America, but it just felt one of those movies.
Yeah, it's also not Contra. I was watching some 80s movies are also super problematic these days. And yeah. Yeah. It is so weird to rewatch.
Anything in particular?
You're like, oh, look at all the gay jokes. Look at all.
Yeah.
The...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was. Because I was watching Monster Squad with a bunch of friends on Sunday.
I watched that a year ago. I was like, man, really? You're dropping that in the kids' movie?
I like Monster Squad, and it's like, okay, in the first 5 minutes, we're going to have like faggot jokes. And then we're going to have, like, part of the whole plot is like a virgin woman, and we're going to shame her because she's not a virgin. We're like, oh, this is the type of woman.
She's like a fucking, isn't she like a teenager? Like,
yeah.
You're 16 and you haven't got fucked yet? Come on.
How dare you?
And then as somebody pointed out, like, it's so weird because like none of the guys are virgins. Like, why is that not a thing? But I'm like, I was watching it and a friend's just like, oh, I hate this movie. And I'm like,
well, the kids are virgins, are they not?
Huh?
All the boys are
yeah,
virgins,
so why couldn't they be part
oh,
of
oh, like, I thought you were saying,
no, that's, they said they were no, that's what virgins. I'm saying. It's like, why couldn't they be part of the ritual? Like, it's not like the book itself does not say like you have to be a female virgin. But that's kind of what they go with because the person who ends up doing it is the little sister. But like watching it,
their balls had not dropped yet. They were not even capable.
Well, one of them was because he was super horny. He only joined the group because of the guy's sister. But yeah, it was like I was watching it, and I'm like, I like the Monster Squad, and I'm watching it with friends, and I'm just like, oh no, not this part. This part's problem. No, this part is problematic too. So yeah, I hate the monster part of the movie.
And like
Jeff said, it's like this is a kids movie, and it's
yeah,
like.
That goes to show like how acceptable that term was then, because like that was like that was just like the insult in the '80s. Like you would just say you're gay or whatever, you know. Like
yeah, you got that, and then you got stuff like one of the characters they just call Fat Kid.
Yeah,
jeez.
That would probably still fly. They could probably still do that in a comedy now. Fat Kid.
Fat Kid. I mean, maybe
can't because it's fat shaming now. I mean, it's fat shaming back then too, but like defining somebody by their weight is yeah, not great. But yeah, it's one of those movies. I was just like, and I was so excited to watch it. I'm like, oh, I actually enjoyed this movie. I watched it. I don't think I've watched it last year, but I watched it. I think I did the Universal Monsters like 3 years ago now, and that was one of them. I'm like, oh yeah, it's enjoyable. And I'm like watching it, and I'm like,
maybe I shouldn't have been enjoying this.
Mm-hmm. It is, and I guess Chris and Tony can speak to this more because, like, you know, I've mentioned this before. I think so. You know, most of my friends now have kids, and sometimes I watch something. I'm like, "Oh, this is amazing! Like, is it good for kids?" And I'm like, "And then I watched the Batman.
Yeah.
I watched the Batman versus Ninja Turtles movie. And I'm like, "Oh, this is great! You should, yeah, you should love it." He's like, "Would my is it safe for my kid?" And I rewatched it. I'm like, "Oh, that guy gets beheaded." I get stabbed to the chest. Oh, maybe not for your kid. And it's like, it's so weird to think about it from other perspectives. And I guess that's part of the thing.
See, that's not the stuff I worry about because, you know, kids like that stuff and it doesn't really affect them as much. It's the stuff like the gay jokes. It's the stuff that's like the gender stereotyping. It's like those kind of things where you almost have to go back and rewatch these movies that you may have loved because it includes all this stuff that by today's society is completely unacceptable, and you don't want your kids thinking like, oh, ha, that's funny. No, that's not funny.
Even
that's
a kid's movie, though.
Yeah. No, totally.
For sure. Cause I mean, we talked about it a little last week. I went back and as a family, we sat down and watched 10 Things I Hate About You, and like, there's just things in that movie that like, I did not remember, and they don't hold up, and it's like you gotta like be like to your kids like, no, that's not good.
It's like the whole no means no. Heath Ledger's a stalker in that movie. He is. She rejects him. At that point, you're supposed to leave it alone, and that's not what he does.
That's the romantic story of every movie,
and it's wrong, and it's not how things are supposed to be. And a lot of these movies just need to be burned out of existence or remade in a way that actually reflects our society.
Yeah. And it's one of the reasons I don't generally like. When first I had kids, it was like, oh, or you know, going to be very careful about like what they watch and are, but it's near impossible to censor everything for them, especially now. Like, my kids are older now, so like
they get into stuff on their own,
right? Like, they're and like even my 8-year old, who's my youngest, like, you know, she has a tablet. Like, I can't control everything that she's looking at, so I generally we don't censor a whole lot anymore. But if stuff comes up and we're watching it together, you know, we will have a discussion about it and be like,
yeah. And I think that's important. And sometimes it's like, you know, like, I don't necessarily agree with the whole don't destroy statues, because nobody earns history from a statue.
Right.
But like, you should learn your history and then contextualize it. Like, why is this bad now? Like, yes, I think there's a fair point to say, yes, we are a terrible nation. These are views we had. Like, sometimes it seems it's quaint to say, oh, these are views we had like 56 years ago. Sometimes it's like, these are views we had like 5 years ago.
Yep.
And this is why it's wrong. Like, I, you know,
yeah, I think I made the point on. Go ahead.
You're no, go on. On.
I made the point, I think, on Recurring Nightmares that, like, you can take a movie from 10 years ago and there's a lot, I think I might have said it here last week, like, there's a lot of things that would not be in movies now, or they wouldn't do it the way they do it now. Yep. Like,
one of my favorite series, The West Wing, if you go back and watch, like, some of the issues that they tackle, like, the what they present as the, like, the liberal opinion back then is, like, utterly conservative and evil now. Like, and they're embracing it. This is kind of weird now. This show is not that old. It's only like 15 years old.
Yeah. Or even like, when people started...
Don't they like present Republicans as serious people in that show too? Like, they actually care.
That's the other part. Like, the Republicans actually care about people and have like values.
Yeah, like, yeah, right, dude. Got that one wrong.
Like, when people are reevaluating Friends, and it's like, oh, Friends is very transphobic, and Friends is a very white New York for some odd reason. and it's like, and you're like, oh, Friends only ended like 15 years ago.
That's
and
right.
All of these problems were still there at the end of Friends. So it's like, yeah. So like, a lot of times we want to think about this stuff being so far in the past. It's like, it's not. Like, this is stuff that we dealt with 5-6 years ago. Like, I was watching a Friends stream the other night. They were talking about Dead by Daylight. They were talking about horror movies and like how they treat like minority characters. And he's like, oh, yeah, if you're gay in a horror movie, you die so quick. And I'm like, is there a horror movie with gay characters? And I'm like, I couldn't think of many, but I imagine.
Trying to think one off the top of my head.
And they gave an example, and I don't remember. But, like, yeah, it's kind of that stuff. I mean, you think of stuff like, you know, like, I assume most people here are fans of Harry Potter. You think of the fact that how awful J.K. Rowling has come out in the past
month. I feel like, so bad. All the money that I've spent on, you know, Harry Potter stuff over the years, I'm like, that was going to somebody who is literally making people's lives worse.
Yeah. Right?
Awesome. I feel so good about this.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
By the way, there's an open world Harry Potter game coming out supposedly next year, except it's probably not coming out now. Good luck with that.
Well, there's many reasons for that. But I mean, if we're going down the dark road of video games right now, I feel like at some point we have to bring up the stuff that's going on in the fighting game community.
Evo.
Yes, Evo. Like, okay, I was just explaining this to some friends. Like I said, before the show, I was playing Darkness with some friends, and I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know, like, you should get into Smash Brothers. Except, oh, don't turn into a pet. They were asking about it. I woke up this morning way too early for work. I woke up at 6. I'm like, oh, you know, sometimes I'll flip over. I'm like, I don't want to wake up, but I'll check my phone to see if anything's going on. I'm like, I'll check video game news. And I saw the news. I'm like, I'm going back to bed. I think at some point between falling asleep at like 12:30 and waking up at 6, there were four cases of, there was one case of rape. There was two cases of pedophilia. And there was one case of like an... The I think the last one's a bit more complicated, where it's like somebody who's grooming somebody for an underage relationship. But yeah, it's just like one of those things again where, like, I feel bad because I see. Okay, so the extent of it is like there were two or three cases where there are people who go to these tournaments who are underage. They're under 18, and they got involved with stuff that they shouldn't get involved with. I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm not saying, but you know, like, there were people older than 18, who either had sexual relations with them or took advantage of them. So there's the discussion of, like, should they be accompanied by parents, which is it? But I feel like if they can do it, like, it's the issue shouldn't be like if they should do it. It's an issue. It's like, why are there so many people getting away with this stuff? Because I think the big thing that came out is that a lot of people knew about stories and they just kind of sat on it or been quiet about it. And it's like so weird. It's not weird because that is what happens. Like, you hear these stories and people sit on it to protect their friends. It's not their business to share. But the problem with that is then that person gets away with it with other people and it goes on and on and on. It creates a cycle. But yeah, like, it was the head of Evo who, if I remember correctly, the head of Evo was having little boys take pictures in their underwears, coming out of the pool.
They were putting the kids in a position where, like, they couldn't opt out. Like, they were stuck, like, with him standing there taking pictures of them. And they're like, oh, can I put on a bathing suit? No, we don't have any bathing suits available, so you're going to have to wear your underwear. Like, he was making them do it.
And again, this seemed like something that was known by the community at large. There was one case of, like, an underage Smash player who hooked up with, like, a prominent member of the Smash community when he was, like, 14, and the guy was 20. There was a Smash commentator who raped a woman. And there's it's just all of this horrible stuff coming out. And again, it's like, and this is on top of what we talked about last week. I think Ubisoft issued a statement recently. Sometime tonight.
Yeah. Today, they outlined their whole plan for eliminating whatever's going on at that company.
Yeah, because it seemed like, it got to the point where, and I did not read it because it's in French, but there was like a whole expose written about Ubisoft's work mentality. And it's not just like an American thing. It's like a corporate-wide thing where even some of their prominent producers were it was known about and they just get shuffled around from project to project.
Yeah.
And this is to tie in this whole year. This is kind of where the problem where then it becomes a boys club because it's like, oh, we can't hire females because we can't have women around this one producer, or we can't hire minorities. And it's like, okay, so we're just going to become an insular white club. And then that just festers the frat boy mentality that makes it harder for other people to get into it.
Instead of just cutting out the bad person.
Well, and this is the thing that kills me. It's like the CEO presenting this. No, the CEO should resign. Like, this should be the end of his career because this all happened on their watch and they allowed this to fester. They allowed the culture to grow up. And I work for a CEO-centric company, and I'm sure some of you guys do too. It's like the culture reflects what they believe. And until they're gone, until someone is in that position of power who is like, okay, you know what? Women need a voice here. Black people need a voice here. Until that person is gone, things aren't going to change. Like, they'll hire whoever they want to hire. They'll hire like someone in HR to, you know, give them like the PR cover that they need. But nothing is actually going to change until like someone in power is held responsible for what happened.
The problem with Ubisoft specifically is that the Guillemot family own
too much of the company,
a major portion of it. Like, they're the majority stakeholders, so you know they're not going to give up that seat.
Right, but they are the problem. They are the essential cause of all of this. If they were to be like, no, this is not acceptable behavior. This will never happen. If you act like this, you will not work for this company. Then it would go away. But they're not going to do that. They've done everything to show that they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they've shown that they will protect you if they think you're valuable, and they will scare off everybody else. I think we discussed this last week. Is like, I'm sure we've all had experiences. I know I can speak. I've had experiences where it's like that one bad manager, that one bad director, that scares off a very talented and invested team, and you don't like the quality that replaces it is never the same. It's one of those things where I don't know how much you want to bend over backwards one person while you're beating talent, while people are avoiding your company. And I it's befuddling because, like, not only does it scare off talents, not only does it, you know, run away employees, but like I said, like we said, it just creates this insular environment where it's like the only other people you're getting are these very toxic people, which means like your product and your company doesn't, the culture doesn't change. If anything, it gets worse because then there's two of them, then there's three of them, and then, you know, it's Bob being Bob. You know, this is how the team cooperates together. And it's like, no, it isn't. Like, this doesn't have to, hey, because it's the way it is now, does not mean that's the way it should be or the way
Bob
it's going to be.
Go. Bob needs to be gone. That's the culture we need to be in. And it's a thing like conservatives hate. It's like the cancel culture. But some people need to be not heard from.
Yeah.
It's just the way things are. There are some people whose opinions are toxic and bad for everyone. And just because you have freedom of speech or freedom or whatever, doesn't mean we have a right to listen to you. Like, those people need to be in a tiny box far away from everyone.
Yeah, it's
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a big thing, right? Like, we have freedom of speech, but there's no freedom from consequences. So, like, there should be consequences for this shit. And unfortunately, there's often not. It's just lip service.
Well, it was just like, I think Tony was just saying, it's like, if there are people in charge, they're kind of setting the culture and the, like, you know. So, anyways.
Yeah. Happier thoughts. But no, I feel like it's hard not to talk about that stuff. And I mean, I think over the past, I mean, honestly, mostly during this quarantine, but I think we've been very proactive at talking about these issues. And I think, you know, I think it does a disservice not to talk about it. I understand. Like, you always hear people take politics out of it. This is for entertainment. It's like, bullshit. That does not, like, nothing exists in a bubble. Like, I have friends on Twitter who I love. They're always like, oh, I'm so happy I created this little bubble. I kind of, like, you know, I hate hearing about the world as well, but I need to be informed of what's going on. And yeah. it does nobody any services for you to dig your head in the sand, because that's how people get to continue their behaviors, because you don't care enough or it doesn't affect you until it does. So yes, it's one of those things where I just feel that I mean, I think from the top down, there's many things that the video game industry needs to change. And I think this is going to be one of them going forward. I mean, I think the other thing is going to be the hours and the crunch that people work.
Yes.
But that is a different fight.
Oh, should we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah.
Where I mentioned off of the crunch because, you know, Naughty Dog just released The Last of Us Part 2, and there was a huge expose on their work culture maybe not being the best, but also Sony reaching out to reviewers because they did not like the text of some reviews.
Yeah, and then that kind of opened a floodgate that kind of got buried into other stuff, where people are like, oh yeah, this isn't the first time people have done this. It's not even the first time Sony has done this. Like, I think I saw somebody mention, like, there have been reviews where people have come back to them like, oh, you got this wrong, let me give you like alternate text to put in your review score. And I feel like this is something that has been talked to, because the way we tend to talk about this stuff is from the opposite end. A lot of people always assume that, like, reviewers are being paid off by publishers to give these games high reviews, where it seems like it's more that the publishers are harassing reviewers for not giving it high scores.
Yeah. And, I mean, I can relay an example of that happened here with our site when we were doing kind of written reviews on a regular basis. You know, Don used to handle reaching out and getting review codes, and he got me one for a game that was a remaster of an old PlayStation game.
Sad.
What the fuck is the? I'm drawing a blank on what the fucking game was. It's just announced a new one. Oddworld. That's it. New and tasty. Oddworld, okay. New and tasty. It came out on the PS4, you know, the remaster of that original game. I had minimal experience with it originally, I mentioned this in my review. And I also mentioned that I wrote a review that was not glowing. It ended up being like middle of the pack. And like most of our reviews, like it is very much like, hey, you know, these are our opinions. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean you're not going to like it. But Don was reached out to by the PR firm that gave us the code and asked like why, like he hadn't played the first one. Why would you guys even ask for a code for this? Like, I wanted us to take down the review.
Not a requisite to review a game to
be no, right. It's not.
Right. In fact, why does it and matter at all?
And reviews can be written from all sorts of points of view. That's kind of the point of it. And
I actually prefer reviews written from all points of view. If you want somebody who's familiar with this franchise.
This is the first game in the series I've played. That's what I think of it.
Right. It was really weird.
Like, generally, if I'm into a series, I value the opinion of someone who is into the series like me. But then again, maybe if it's something that I'm new to, I might want to hear what someone's new to it. Thinks of it, you know,
which is why you want a wealth of opinions. You want somebody who's familiar with it. You want somebody who's not familiar with it. You want somebody who loves this genre. You want somebody who hates the genre. You want like the point. I mean, as evil as it can be for certain people, like that's why Metacritic exists, is because you want a swath of reviews and opinions, not just like, oh yeah, I have Final Fantasy, so I'm going to review all the Final Fantasy games. Like that doesn't do anything to me. I've not played a Final Fantasy. What does somebody who's playing this for the first time think?
And I do wonder if, I mean, we weren't on Metacritic, so we weren't impacting anybody's bonuses, and that's another issue entirely.
I feel like that is on the company. If you're gonna put the payment that you get from your publisher based on your Metacritic results, that's your problem.
Bad contract. You sign into a bad deal.
Don't do that to yourself.
But I do wonder if, like, hey, you know, we gave this smaller outlet a copy because, you know, smaller outlets generally are more accommodating, and like, I mean, our name isn't critically sane for nothing. So,
right.
It was weird. I don't think we ever got another code from those guys, but I don't mind when, you know, these PR firms reach out and go, hey, like, where's the review at? She taking really long with it, or.
Yeah, that's different. Right. That's like, yeah. Like you're giving codes. Like I want something. Like I wanted product in return.
Right.
Right.
That is
the transaction. It's you give me a code, I give you a review. That's how it's supposed to work. What the review says, you don't get to determine that. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're out.
And in fact, I recently about a month ago, I took a code. I didn't end up talking about it on here. I did reach out to the PR firm because I ran into a bug where I couldn't progress. They never responded, so I never wrote a review. but they also never reached back out. So,
and that's fair too.
I think the only time I ever gave it was a 0 out of 5. I think you guys, Chris remembers. I heard him scoff. They gave a review code out for a strategy game where you couldn't progress past the first level because the game was bugged so badly. They also put a why am I blanking on the word? Like you couldn't release the review until like a week after the game had actually embargo. Come out. So
what a weird embargo too.
It's a weird embargo, right? You literally could not play the game. Like you couldn't if you can't get past the first level. Like the game is useless.
And that was and here's the thing. I mean, personally speaking, and I think embargoes expire the day the game's out to the public.
Yes.
Like, I don't care what you sign. If, like, literally, if I could go buy it myself and review it, that embargo is null and void at that point.
Yeah.
Because I've not done it for games, but I've had that happen to movies where, like, I go as a person to, like, advanced screenings, and they've come back and, like, oh, the review embargo is until such and such a date. I'm like, I didn't sign anything that said that. I didn't agree to any of these terms. I will take it down out of respect, but like once it's out there, like there's nothing to do about that. And I think it's the same thing where people are like, because I think, was it Red Dead Redemption that had a review embargo like the day after it came out? Or if the game releases digitally at midnight, the review embargo is up at that moment. It is not noon of that day. It is not 9 a.m. that day. It is midnight the day people can buy your game. That review embargo does no longer matters because people can purchase it. Like, I'm not saying you can finish it, but if I could run through your game and write a review in that like 3 hours or whatever, that embargo doesn't mean anything.
No.
Agreed.
It's a weird embargo.
Well, I bring this up because part of the reason that this came up, like Sony, but also I think a lot of people got Ghost of Tsushima to sue me.
Yep.
But they can't actually say they have it. So everybody's like, oh, I have this new game that I'm playing. And then folks are like pictures of people with swords or samurai games. And it's like, I can't tell you what game it is, but I have it. And it's like, this is dumb. Like, it reminds me of Smash Brothers Brawl, where Nintendo forbid people from saying that Sonic's in the game. Like, you folks promoted him. You had tours with him. How are you going to then tell people they can't mention that he's in the game?
Because they did a half-ass job of putting him in the game, apparently, or something. I don't know.
He's a fighter. It's Sonic. I mean, it's Smash Brothers. Like, I mean, personally speaking, Smash Brothers is not going to live or die based off of who is or isn't in the game on your review. Like, that is a part of it, but it's not like, oh man, Sonic's actually not in the final version of this game. 0 out of 10.
Burn it. What a terrible game.
Yeah, nobody's buying it based on, well, I don't want to say nobody, but very minimal people are buying it based on one character.
Yeah. And again, character, not a character that you promoted in like a video that was on YouTube or you mentioned on Twitter. This is a character that you revealed at like E3. Like, Sonic being in Brawl was the big marketing point of Brawl at that time. So it is weird to be like, oh yeah, you can't mention them in reviews. And I've heard a lot of stuff about Nintendo, but a lot of companies have these really dumb embargo rules that you have to follow. Like I meant, like with this one, where you can't mention that you have the game.
It's so weird. So weird.
Yeah, but yeah, I was a little sketchy that they reached out to Vice about their review.
Yeah. And as far as I could tell, Vice wasn't even like, it was like, what, 7 out of 10 or something like that?
What a terrible review. How dare they?
But it, yeah, I don't think that their review was, like, it wasn't like, oh, this is, that's what it was. It wasn't that this game was, oh, this is the best game ever. It was like, it has issues. There are issues with this game.
Yeah, and I would trust those more than the "this is perfect, fantastic, you should sleep with it and have its babies" reviews that we sometimes get with the game. And I think it exposes that other avenue again, where, like, you know, a lot of people always accuse reviewers of being bought and paid for, and I don't think that's ever the case. What I do think is the case is you get these scenarios where it's like, if you don't play Ball, you won't get the next.
Yep.
And that's an issue where a lot of people are like, oh, but we want to review the next game from Sony, or we want to review the next game from EA or something like that. It's like, yeah, you can't afford not to. Like, you're not going to be able to be like, oh yeah, we're not going to review Call of Duty.
Yep. And you're, and like, you'll still be able to review it, you know, you go out and buy it yourself, but you're not going to have that review ready for when all everybody else's reviews are out there. And if they're not out there at the same time, it's known that you lose traffic on them.
Yeah. I mean, so, that is sad. That is the sad but honest truth.
It's like, honestly, like, everyone, like, the Last of Us Part 2 reviews came out, like, the week before, and then everyone ran out to read them, and, like, if you posted a review today, like, nobody's reading it. That game's only been out a week and a half, like, or so.
But it feels like forever ago, but I guess you are right. It is, I think we've talked about that before. It is always so fascinating how quickly we consume stuff and move on to the next thing. Because, yeah, it's only been a week and a half, but a lot of people have finished it, and Like, we're already at the inflection point of this franchise, this game now, where people are talking about like, the ending and its violence and all this other stuff. I'm like, I mean, again, granted, I get it. Most of this country still remains in lockdown. A lot of people are still home. People probably had time to play it and finish it. But, like, I don't get the fact that, like, the decorum on talking about stuff openly is, like, a weekend. It's like, yeah, it came out Friday. It's Monday. You played this, right? You beat it already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are people in another Discord that I belong to. They finished it that weekend.
Yeah, and then they just start opening and talking about it. I'm like, let's not do that. Like, I think as a society, and this is a very minor problem, we do need to come for the quorum. I'm like, what is the spoiler embargo? Is it like, is it a week after something comes out? Is it a month after something comes out? Do you never openly talk about something with the assumption that somebody has not seen it yet or played it yet?
I forgot what TV show it was where, like, all of a sudden on Twitter, I think it was Game of Thrones, maybe. Like, the last season of Game of Thrones where it was like, I guess spoilers don't matter anymore. Like, all of a sudden, all the rules were thrown out the fucking window on that. Like,
right after the last episode.
Everyone was live tweeting. Like, I don't know. Now that I think about it, I think it was Game of Thrones, like, the season. Where all of a sudden, like, I noticed that no one gave a shit about not, like, used to be like, dude, don't talk about it on here. Like, we'll talk about it, like, after I see the episode. Don't mention it on Twitter or whatever. And then, like, all of a sudden it became, like, everyone's live tweeting episodes. Like, I want to say it was Game of Thrones, but, like,
it was a combination.
Now that shit's over, dude. Like, if it's a live TV show, it's getting spoiled, dude.
It was a combination. It was Game of Thrones and it was Endgame. Because Endgame, they officially put out, like, oh, okay, you have, like, you have two weekends. You have, like, you have the full week and you have the first, the opening weekend, and that's it. The Monday after the second weekend, everything was free for all. And they put that out, and I think it was a combination of those two things where it's like, okay, that is it. The moratorium on spoilers is a week.
Because it used to not even be a moratorium. It used to be just like, you can't talk about shit. Don't talk about
Don't talk about openly.
Now it's like, then it was like, you know, if it's a couple years old, then it was like 2 weeks. Now it's like, we're doing it live, bitch. Like, we're just doing the whole fucking thing.
Get in there first day.
And I will be honest, I'm one of those people who I see TV shows, but I tend to do it like where it's like super vague, where it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened.
Right? No, nobody reading your tweets could tell what was going on.
Yeah, where other people are like, oh yeah, so-and-so died this episode. I'm like, okay. Like, let's pull that back a bit. But yes, it's one of those things where I think spoiler culture, I mean, part of it I think is overblown, but I do think part of it is like we do need to, like, as a society, come up with rules where it's like, okay, you can talk about this, but give people like a month to see it. Or like for me, like movies, I think movies, once they're readily available in like HBO or Stars or something like that, I think that's at that point, it's like, okay, you can talk about it. Where I feel like a lot of people with movies, it's like, oh yeah, There's a camera about now, so I can post GIFs. That means it's free for all. I'm like, no, not everybody's gonna pirate this stuff. But you do you. And the worst thing to me, I think, is the people who are always like, oh, if you spoil this, I'm gonna block you. I'm gonna unfollow you. I'm gonna hate you so much. Are the first people like, I saw it. Let's talk. It's time for spoilers.
Like, these are the people that are like
guilty.
I'm muting all terms about this. But then as soon as they're done, it's okay. It's open season. That's
right. As soon as they're done, they will be at the movie theater. Like, I just saw the ass shot. You would not believe what happened. It's like 8:01. That movie premiered like 2 minutes ago in my time zone. How are you spoiling this already for me? Like, I think Endgame and Infinity War. I saw with friends, so we had to we made a weekend of it. We visited each other, and I had to see it Saturday. The movie comes out Thursday, and I can't tell you how long that Friday felt with like everybody else seeing it and just like openly discussing what it's going on. And it's just like, you folks can't even wait a weekend to spoil this for everybody, because it's like, I've seen it already. I don't care about you.
They deserve it. They really do. It'd been bad.
Because you were cheap and too easy to see it open at night. You deserve to have this vault for you. And I'm like, that's not how this works. Because, and I will be honest, I think Chris has gone through this as well. There are a crap ton of movies I have seen way before people have gotten to see them in theaters. And big movies, too. I mean, I've seen... Not Transformers. I saw Interstellar before a lot of people. I went to the world premiere of Interstellar. I went to the world premiere of 10 Kill with Phil Dane. I've gone to the world premiere of Batman vs. Superman. There are a crap ton of movies I've seen way before the general public ever gets a chance to see them. And this isn't me bragging, but it's the fact that then you are stuck with this weird zone where it's like, I've seen this movie. I can't talk to anybody about it. And I do that. There are people who see it open at night, and they, within 5 minutes, they almost spill their guts. I'm like, yeah, I've held on to this for like 3 months now. It's not that special. you can wait a weekend.
Yep. Totally understand. Not the crazy people, but holding back on.
Yeah.
I felt weird talking about the original The Last of Us this week and like my mini rant on Twitter. Like, am I saying too much about this? Like, that game's 7 years old.
Yeah, and it's weird. I feel like there are certain stuff that just transcends industries where it's like, okay, we're gonna have to stay quiet. See, I don't see people openly talk about The Last of Us. Like, I only found, because I've never finished the game, so I don't care for it. I didn't find out the ending of it until this year, where people were like, oh yeah, like, you know, like, Joel kills a scientist, so you can live. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's how it ends. And it's not me being upset that they did that. It's just like, oh, yeah, I kind of wanted to do it because the game holds no interest to me. But I was curious what happened with it. Then there's stuff like, yeah, I could pretty much tell you how every Mario game ends without ever saying them. I could tell you how Final Fantasy VII Remake ended before it came out. I had invaded.
It is funny that, like, you know, people were so protective of the original The Last of Us. And I'm not even like following, I haven't played the sequel yet. I'm not really following the discussion, but I already know more about that game than I probably should.
Because, I mean, and to the same point, and, you know, like, kind of like the same thing with Marvel and Endgame. There has been, I think, at least three tell-all interviews with Neil Druckmann about The Last of Us 2, Part 2, and its ending, and its message, and its plot twist, and it's this, that, and the third. And I'm like, the game's only been out, like, 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yep.
And we are already doing postmortems on them. Like, let the game die first.
And then in another week, we will completely forget that game even exists and move on to Ghost of Tsushima.
That's right.
Paper Mario?
Oh, well, Paper what? Is Paper Mario next week?
And no, it's not next
same
week.
Same day, I think.
Oh, same day.
It is. Yeah. I did not realize it was this month, because one of my friends was like, I'm hyped for Paper Mario this month. I'm like, no, that's next month, right? They're like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. I have not been paying attention. I thought this was in August. No, it's not, I thought this was an August title. When is it out?
I think it's the same day as Tsushima.
17th.
The 17th.
Yeah.
Out in 2 weeks.
I pre-ordered it last night. It's downloaded. Like, I think it was like maybe like 9 gigs or something like that. I got it. Maybe.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. I'm gonna have to. Well, we'll see. Yeah, July 17th. Wow, that is in 2 weeks.
I'll be interested to see how the reviews are, but it's like, I know I'm gonna like even the bad Paper Mario games. I'm still like, it's Paper Mario. Like, it's like, I like that series enough that I know that I'm not going to be mad about buying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, yeah, that is one of those things that I'm just, like, so fascinated by. And yeah, it's been a week.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything coming out next week? Nothing like that.
I mean, I feel like we're now at the point where, like even Tsushima was originally a June title that we pushed back. Paper Mario is a new title, but But like outside of those two titles, I think we're done until the new consoles launch, really.
Well, there's a bunch of sports games.
I think, you know what?
We'll say something soon.
Bring up NBA 2K. Come on. Bring up that story.
You know what I'm surprised by? Because I don't think anybody on this show is going to play. Iron Man game comes out in like 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
Oh, that VR game. Yeah, I'm excited about that VR stuff.
No, but like somebody's like, oh, are you excited for the Iron Man VR game this week? I'm like, wait, that's out this week? Like, I feel like they have not promoted that at all once it got delayed.
No.
Probably not very good, I'm imagining.
I don't think
reviews are out yet. And again, that is out in 5 minutes.
I will say that I think Jeff is as well, excited for next Friday, where a Bloodstained Circle of the Moon 2 comes out.
Oh, that was surprising, because that was just announced last month, right?
Just last week?
A couple days ago.
It was... when was it? Yeah, it was like that indie New Game Fest conference. Yes, it was announced last week,
and it comes out on the 10th. So
yeah, they said it was soon. I did not think they meant that soon. On the same note, though, as we mentioned before with the not E3 stuff, I think it's coming. I think Ubisoft has a presentation next week, and. Okay. I think, is it Devolver Digital that has one this week as well? So we'll have those two things to talk about next week at least.
And then the Microsoft conference is supposedly on the 20th.
Has that been dated yet?
I've seen people saying that's the date. I had thought it was next week, but evidently that was not correct.
Yeah, for some reason I had July 7th in my head. But
yeah. But I've heard the 20th as the date for Microsoft.
Okay, I bet you Nintendo does something after Paper Mario comes out.
I think they'll do something.
Like a couple weeks, like 2 weeks, you know?
I think they'd do something before Paper Mario, because Nintendo's always kind of been very focused on next. So with this, if this is out in 2 weeks, they need to start getting people anticipating with next.
There's going to be something like, you know... And you figure E3 would have been in June. We're already like we're in July. Like once I think by the end of this month, we're gonna get something from them.
I hope so. I want to know what they have.
Yeah, like, they gotta have something, and like I want to know if that Mario shit is real. Like that was a huge rumor, and it just died off.
Is it the 30th anniversary of Mario?
No, not the 30th. It's the 40th.
40th.
That's a lot of Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're counting from, I forget where they count from. It might be the 35th if they're counting from Super Mario Brothers, which is 85. If not, it's the 40th because I think Donkey Kong's 90.
Yeah, I guess if you count from Donkey Kong, it's probably the 40th.
Which you should. I mean, that's where you did.
Yeah, Super Mario Brothers, but that's totally incorrect to do. It should be Donkey Kong.
But I think that's where they count from because I have the Super Mario 25th Anniversary Collection. That was from 2010, So, and I don't think I've ever opened that.
And Donkey Kong was 81.
Okay, so yeah, but. Yeah, I mean, even then, you have this would be the 24th anniversary of Mario 64, the 10th anniversary of Galaxy 2. So yeah,
I feel like just like the Mario collection has got to be real in some way, and the Metroid Prime collection, like. Come on, man. Okay. One of those are coming this year.
I will say I've heard enough about the Metroid collection from people in the know to know that it exists and it's existed for a while. Yeah. And I get it from a marketing standpoint that they want to put a Curse of the Metroid Prime 4. But yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that if they could have, I would have dropped it during this time. One of the things we have not talked about, and this, you know, we don't have stats across the board, but I think the UK numbers came out this is that the Switch has doubled its sales from last year in the same time period. The PlayStation is 50% higher, and the Xbox is 25% higher. And game sales, I mean, The Last of Us 2, I think, is what, 3 million, what, 4 million in 3 days? It's the highest opening Sony exclusive of all time. Animal Crossing has literally just crossed 5 million in Japan alone. And I think that's, we saw the numbers, like 13 million worldwide. So, you know, from a business standpoint, this global pandemic has been great for video game sales.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
We're all going to die.
We're going to do it playing games, though.
We're going to do playing video games, yes. Patriotic video games, I hope. Patriotic video games.
America.
America. America. Yeah.
We're going to go and eat our cheeseburgers and our hot dogs, ketchup. That's what Jeff likes on his hot dogs.
Pretzel burgers. Eat your pretzel burger.
We did not support hamburgers on this podcast.
It looked delicious, didn't it, Jeff? I'm just saying. My pretzel.
Remember, this is the celebration of beer and hot dogs and fireworks.
I'm sorry. I have invoked a non-sponsored food group. We're going to go have our hot dogs and our beer and our fireworks. Yes.
Because
although we're not going to have any fireworks before, because nobody's, you know, shooting them off anymore.
I've had fireworks. I mean, I'm sure you've all heard my fireworks throughout tonight. But just to remind folks, don't, you know, it's been a long podcast, and you don't go to sleep without remembering that this is the 250th first annual Open the Beaches Red, White, and Blue All American Independence Day perfectly patriotic celebration of hot dogs, beers, and fireworks drunk cast presented by the British Empire and Napoleon and friends like you.
I'm very thankful for the British Empire and Napoleon's.
And without the British Empire, there would have been no 4th of July.
There would not have been any 4th of July.
And without Napoleon, there'd have been no Louisiana Purchase. Just saying.
I mean, in hindsight, do we really want Louisiana?
Yeah.
Well, but it's all the other places. Like, it was like Louisiana was huge. Like, it went all the way up to, like, the Rockies. And, like,
I get that. But, I mean, most of those states you could put it out.
South Dakota, you're eliminating in the Louisiana Purchase. Like, that's
I will say I enjoyed my trip to New Orleans and I would go back, but.
Oh, New Orleans.
You don't want COVID.
New Orleans is amazing. It's the rest of the state exists.
Yep. Yeah. We don't need the rest of Louisiana. Can we just, like, move New Orleans somewhere else?
Somewhere that's not in the middle of a floodplain. It's not going to exist in 20 years.
Sorry,
people who live there. Sorry.
So if you haven't gone to New Orleans, go soon.
Go not soon, because they are suffering like the rest of the world.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go right now, but go in the next like few years before global warming makes it so that that city is completely inviable. Go now.
Except
not now.
It's certainly a thing. Like, as the Arctic hit 100 degrees last week, so.
That's the unfortunate part, is that, like, with COVID going on, we're missing all this other horrible things that are happening right now.
Your last chance to see the planet before it fucking gets
swamped. We're stuck inside. Can't go anywhere. California's going to fall off into become an island. And
when you suddenly realize you're living at the end of the world, and it's right at the beginning of it.
Shame. Never going to get to California.
California.
You never been to California?
No.
It's not worth it.
I haven't been there since I was a little kid, so I can't say anything like intelligible. No.
I like California.
I thought it was cool.
There's lots of nice tourist places. I don't
care
that I'm like. What part of California?
What part have you been to?
Me? Yeah. I've been to a bunch of places. I've been to San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles.
I've not been to San Francisco yet. I've been to LA and San Diego. I think I've mentioned this before. San Diego is one of the, like, I mean, not one of, San Diego is, like, if I moved to New York City, San Diego would be number one choice for me. I think it would be, I used to say Boston, then Boston is racist. Chicago's up there. Austin's really nice. I like New Orleans, but I realize, like, if you do Bourbon Street, there's not a ton to do in the city.
Yeah, after Bourbon Street, there's nothing. There's really not a whole lot there.
There's that World War II museum.
There's you get also to see all like the landing ships and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's also a death scene, which is kind of cool. Yep. But
went to that too. That was interesting.
They don't allow pitches, which sucks. And that's always been one of my things, and I should really do that at some point. Is I've always wanted to like do like a series of all the places the places I've been when I've traveled there. I think I've mentioned before, one of my absolute favorite things to do when I travel is to find like a video game bar or barcade, depending on whatever terminology you want to use. And I've done several New York, I've done Boston, I've done Austin, I've done I think Dallas, I've done Orlando, San Diego, LA, Vancouver, Toronto, London, up in Cardiff. So yeah, I'm like, there's been a ton that I've done that I want to talk about, but I'm also like, I don't know if anybody's ever interested in that. So, yeah.
You can always come on and tell us about your barcade adventures, Earl.
I can come on and tell you about my barcade adventures.
Yes,
I
we mean, care if no one else does.
I mean, at the same point, they saw the same thing. I will say this one thing for barcades is that I think more of them need to do actual video game themed drinks. Like, it's super easy that most of them don't. I've gone to bars that are like nondescript nerdy bars, like not even nerdy bars, but like nondescript bars where I've gotten to order like a Princess Peach or a Goldeneye, and I'm like, why don't you barcades have these drinks?
Fucking give me a Bloody Mary called the Isabella.
And that's the thing. You could have normal drinks and just put a fancy name on it.
Yeah, Isabella.
Like, you could have a martini and just call it the Goldeneye, and I'm like, yay! I mean, I'm very easy to appease.
This is really just a regular martini, but he is very happy about it.
Yeah, because you branded it appropriately for a video game bar. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I do like that when like you go to a seafood restaurant or something. Like not like a classy seafood restaurant because they don't have like themed drinks generally, but like, you know, a mid tier kind of cheesy. They have like nets on the walls and shit. They have like cool drinks named after like whales and.
I can't remember the one my girlfriend likes because I hate seafood, so I won't go there. But what's like the big popular one? I think it's like gone now.
The
Red Lobster.
Yeah, like
no, that's not Red Lobster.
And that's not a good restaurant either. Seafood Shanty was another one.
No. Something Crab Shack. Someone's
Joe's Crab Shack. Oh,
yeah. Okay, heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that, yes.
I think
they're closed.
Yeah, they died off.
But yeah, they were one that had like goofy ass names. They were regular drinks, like, you know, just like Earl just said, but they had stupid names for them. Yeah. Oh, well, we will be back next week, more sober.
We're not sober? What?
To actually talk about video games. I actually played new stuff this week, too.
I did, too. But I'm not talking about it, because I can't stress my opinion.
I will say this, and I assume we're all in the same boat. It has been a long-ass 4 months.
Yeah.
I am happy to have a long weekend. I have my drinking scheduled. I have liquor tonight, as I mentioned. I got beer tomorrow night. I got wine on Saturday. I am just so happy to not have to think about work for the next 72 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
I made it a long weekend and took off Monday as well. But.
Yeah.
I took off
yesterday. I took off today. I have tomorrow off. I'm good until Monday. And I'm very happy to look at my email and say, oh, I don't have to say anything to you.
See, the difference is I would not look at my emails.
This is going to be a weird 4th of July for me because normally I am at work in the middle of year-end close. And my family has been going down to Virginia to my wife's family's house for a 4th of July party every year. So I normally spend 4th of July and my anniversary, which is the day after 4th of July. but they're all going to be home and it's going to be weird. I normally just sit around and drink and
you're like, why are you here?
eat bad food, play video games. Yeah. my daughter, my youngest daughter, is like, I have the day planned out for Saturday. I'm like,
oh,
what?
Oh, no. Like, no plans.
We're going to do all this and all this. And
you can't have made plans because you can't buy alcohol yet. That's the problem.
I want to drink some coffee, and then I want to open either some beer or some vodka and go play video games for 8 hours.
not video games for 8 hours, because there are two things. You do every 4th of July weekend. You watch Jaws and you watch Independence Day. Because...
Okay.
Now so, Uncle Sam.
All right. So my daughter did want to watch a 4th of July movie. And I always go to Jaws. I love Jaws. But my wife does not like horror films. Jaws isn't scary, but she does not believe me. And she doesn't
Jaws.
Yeah, I think if your wife doesn't like scary movies, discover that Jaws is a scary movie. I don't think it's very scary either, but I think if you don't like scary movies, you would discover Jaws as a scary movie.
Yeah, she has not seen Jaws, Jeff.
Don't you show it to your kids and stuff? Like
I've watched it with my three oldest.
Like, how's she not? Like, is she just like go off and read a book?
Oh, she'll just go in up like to the bedroom or go into the other room and read. Like, she's like, oh, they're watching dumb shit again. I'm going away.
I got like at some point, I would just like force, like, you gotta see this. You gotta understand this. Like, important force people, in my life.
Just to clarify, you can't force people to do anything against their will, Jeff. So we do not force anybody to do anything against their will on this podcast.
Imagining Jeff people down. You're gonna watch Jaws.
Just remember, no means no in all avenues of life, movies included.
That's right, Jeff.
That is the perfectly sane motto.
But to circle back to Independence Day movie. So Independence Day, it is on 4th of July.
It is.
You would count that one. That's one you would watch on 4th of July.
Independence Day is the movie I watch on 4th of July. Okay. Like, that is part of my, I haven't mentioned this on the podcast. I've mentioned this to you folks in private. I have what I call a red, white, and blue tradition. I have red wine, white meat, which is usually chicken, and a Blu-ray copy of Independence Day. It is a tradition that I started by accident. I don't even remember how. I think I got home from a 4th of July barbecue or event early in the day, and I was still kind of sober. And I'm like, oh, you know, I had this bottle of wine that's been sitting here forever, and I'm not doing anything with it, so I'm going to watch Independence Day. And that was kind of how the tradition started some odd years ago. And now it's kind of gotten to the point where this year is a completely different beast because everybody's home. And I will be honest, it's the first thing I'm kind of missing doing, because we've done, I've had my birthday, we've had Memorial Day, but those aren't very big. Fourth of July, I think it's a big holiday. You go out, you get buzzed, you watch fireworks, you eat hot dogs. But yes, it's one of the traditions I'm doing. I'm going to do it with some friends via Zoom or Google Meets, but, it's something that I think. Last year or the year before, I already got home after midnight. I'm like, technically not the 4th of July, but I still kind of wanted to do this. So it was like 12, and it's a 2.5 hour movie, and I'm like, I'm still going to do this. And I didn't, usually I get through a bottle of wine, but I got through like half of it because I had been drinking already. But I'm like, it's just kind of become part of my tradition now. I'm like, I want to do this all the time. And so I convinced some friends to do it this year with me. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. Well, I will too watch. I will watch Independence Day. I'll show it to my kids. I don't believe
have
it.
My kids have never seen it. I think that might be a good idea.
I think as far as like really, it's a dumb movie, but it's pretty good for what it is.
It's fun. It's very fun.
If you want to torture your kids, have them watch the sequel.
Don't make
seen that. That was torture for myself.
I've always
I don't want to do that again. So no.
I've always seen the sequel once, and I've kind of been tempted to rewatch it, but at the same time, I don't want to. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's one I can't do that one. But the first one, I love the first one. It's a great movie. All right. Well, we're going to watch Independence Day. Earl's going to drink some red wine.
Oh,
also, and on Disney Plus.
Hamilton. Yes, watch that Hamilton. That is not a bad movie. I mean, I don't know if it's a bad movie, but it's a great. Here's a great performance. That is actually what I'm doing for 151 proof movies tomorrow night. It's a huge thing, my friend. It's a thing. My friend picked it. I'm going to allow him to have this opportunity because I prefer doing bad movies, but he's going through it right now, which I can't talk to on air. So we're watching Hamilton. But I told him, I gave him a heads up tonight, I'm going into that movie drunk. I will rewatch it sometime over the weekend sober, but I have all Friday off. I am going to drink.
So there's not even any coffee for Earl in the morning. He's just
he doesn't need coffee.
Beer.
I'm replacing my coffee with Kahlua today. That's all I need.
I will be.
Give me a glass of Kahlua. That's fine.
I will be honest with you. I was talking to somebody earlier. I'm like, I was going to order in dinner today. I'm like, you know what? If I don't order in food, I can make food I have here so I can start drinking at the start of the day. And that is exactly what I'm going to do. It's a 3-day weekend. Like I said, I think we can all kind of agree. It's been a shitty 4 months.
Yep.
I think we all need to be off some steam.
Yeah.
So.
Well, enjoy your watching of Hamilton. I should watch that at some point. My kids have seen it.
In fact, it's out tomorrow, so you should watch it.
It's probably out now. I don't know what time Disney Plus updates.
Yeah.
They haven't been like on it, so I'm assuming it'll be sometime in the middle of the day tomorrow.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe I'll sit down and watch that. We're gonna watch some Independence Day, play some video games, and we'll be back next week with I don't know. There's, you know, Tony and Earl have played new games, so
yes, and when I actually enjoy
Jeff really it, wants to hear about Order of Battle too. I know he
but,
does.
But just before we go, and for the people listening at home, this has been the 250th first annual Open the Beaches Rhode Island View All American Independence Perfectly Patriotic Celebration of Hot Dogs, Beers, and Fireworks Drunk Cast, presented once again by the fine folks at the British Empire and Napoleon. We'll catch you next.
Yeah. Say America.
America.